May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, some of you may remember in 1970, Joni Mitchell wrote a song about hope and positivity called Woodstock, sung then and ever since by those who dream for a better world. In our world now, so racked by conflicts and divisions, the words of that song still ring loud and urgently. I feel myself a cog in something turning, but life is for learning, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. After it rains here, do you notice how sharp and green the trees and the grass looks? And if after this service you were to stand on the steps and look out onto the beautiful new garden here in this church, you would see dozens of different shades of green. The colour green, in its complexity and variances, could be a vivid metaphor for all humanity. And just as green has a multitude of hues and variations, so does humanity, some good and some not so good. The book of Genesis tells us humanity was originally good and lived harmoniously. Then came the fall of man, conflict followed, and darkness overcame light. The Old Testament, of course, is full of stories of wars and vengeance, power struggles, and settling old scores. Into this disarray, God intervened, finally, through love and supreme generosity, sending his Son to give his life to save this broken and conflicted world. Today, the scripture readings ask us to consider how well our faith sustains us and grows in times when we're challenged by hurts, injustices, and the slings and arrows of life in our times. We're asked to rethink how we react to wrongs being done to us, sometimes blighting our lives deeply and forever. I found this limerick, and it gives one way to resolve things. There once were two cats from Kilkenny. Each thought there was one cat too many. They fought and they spit, and they clawed and they bit, till instead of two cats, there weren't any. However, in today's conclusion of the Sermon on the Plain, we hear the most demanding of Christ's teaching. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, do not judge, and you will not be judged, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned, forgive, and you will be forgiven, give, and it will be given to you. How can we possibly buy into this in 2019? Surely it's counterintuitive and too difficult. But why would Jesus require it of us? Well, in his day, the legacy of the previous centuries was violent. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, warfare, hatred, tribal conflicts, power struggles. Actually, not so very different from our world today. Do you remember those bumper stickers? Don't get mad, get even. Only a moron drives so close to read this. They were tame compared with current social media, where anonymous and vituperative attacks can be freely made on anyone deemed to be an enemy. Supporters and politicians of one party are vilified by members of another for holding different beliefs. I am right, you are wrong. I am a winner, you are a loser. Children are bullied and hated online by their schoolmates, so that teenage suicides have increased alarmingly. Enemies are those we condemn, and we feel justified in doing so. But to those who will listen, says Jesus, instead, love them. And also, don't judge others. But why? And how? First, because that's what God does. He sent his Son to redeem humanity because it had fallen short, far short, of living right. And as he was enduring an agonizing and undeserved death on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Forgive people who have done you wrong, not because they deserve it or to condone them, but because they need it. And because the world needs more righteousness and decency and kindness instead of retribution and revenge. Let go then of the wounds and the grudges, and instead, Jesus says, aspire to being merciful as God is merciful, and you will be children of the Most High. In the Old Testament reading today, we hear how Joseph, sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, encounters them years later and first forgives them and then shows them love. Mary Johnson was glad when the teenager who murdered her son was imprisoned for 20 years. "I hated him. He was an animal who deserved what he got." Over time, she felt compelled to visit him in jail to try and get some closure for herself about what kind of awful person this must have been. "I found myself hugging the man who killed my only child." She continued to visit him, and upon his release, she told him, "I have no son now, and you need a mother." And she took him into her home to live with her. She also founded From Death to Life, that supports families of victims of violence to heal and to reconcile. This sermon on the plane of Jesus is about rethinking negative human responses and instead living righteously. We don't always get it, and we sometimes also misinterpret it. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek also. We assume this means if someone does you wrong, offer him your other cheek to strike that too. Be a saintly doormat. But think about it. If you're right-handed and you slap someone's right cheek, you'd have to be a contortionist to slap the other one. It can't be done. And the point of what Jesus is saying with that was, when you have it in you to do the right thing, keep it up, even when it's hard, because you are standing for righteousness. The Bethlehem Church of Christ in Ohio has an archive going back to when it was built around 1840, and one entry says, "We had fighting right here at home. The Democrats and Republicans were so bitter against one another, it broke the church up. A fistfight took place on the church property. Two of our best men fought to a finish. One wanted to know if the other had had enough. He said he had, so he let him up." Christians aren't supposed to be like that. But as St. Paul writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We ourselves were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. Winning, getting revenge are not right ways to live. The right way is to resolve to do unto others as you would have them done to you. This so-called golden rule of Jesus. God is asking this of us, to aspire to what Jesus asked of us that day on the plain. It's a challenge. And whatever enemies we find ourselves contending with, of course, we need God's help to be and do the best we can to reconcile ourselves to those hurts and those enemies and not to judge them. In the end, as Jesus says, it comes down to love. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden. Go forward. Keep trying. Translate our faith, however weak or tentative, into caring for humanity at large, even the most unlovable within it, because God asks us to. It's not always easy, and it's not always meant to be easy, but we must try, because life is for learning. We are all cogs in the turning. We've got to get ourselves back in the garden. Amen.